Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, good afternoon and welcome to another week of the End Time News Report. We guess who? Guess who? No, it's not that stinking rat who's tearing up my stuff. No. It's with Sister Marie. Sister Marie's been sending me some funny videos on some rats and what they do and how they make people's lives miserable. And she also sent me a song yesterday with a rat on it. And he was singing happy birthday, and everyone's laughing at the wolf tracker because I can't seem to get this rat. But like they say, every rat has his day, and his day is coming. So I'm going to bring on Sister Marie shortly, but I just want to make a kind of like a correction. It's not a correction. I just want to band a little bit. When I was talking yesterday on Sister AJ's show on people and their giving, now, I wasn't bashing Spanish people. I'm not bashing Spanish people. I'm just stating a fact. And I hope that the reality of this fact does not put a bad light on Hispanic Christians. But I was sharing yesterday on my experience dealing with all kinds of Hispanic churches. And my experience has been that when it comes to money, or when it comes to them giving a guest speaker an offering, they are very underwhelming. That's a fact. Now, I shared yesterday how I used to go from the Bronx to this church in Perth Amboy, New Jersey. And you got to take the George Washington Bridge, and you got to take the New Jersey Turnpike. It's way past Newark International Airport, and that mess of a traffic jam. You got to pass the Meadowlands Stadium where the New York Giants and the New York Jets play. It's way past all that mess. Perth Amboy is quite a distance, and I was sharing how I would spend anywhere from $75. And if there were people with me in the car, it would be more because I would have to buy people lunch. So anywhere from $75 to $125. Now, I wasn't expecting the church to give me $1,000 or $5,000. No. I was just hoping that the church could help me cover my expenses. And every time I went to this church, and I went to this church over 50 times, Every time I went to this church, the pastor would give me the sob story, or he would stand next to me and say, "Brother, we can't pay you." This is every time. I knew the story. I knew what he was going to say. "Brother, we can't pay you, but receive this token from us." And it was sometimes it would be $22.56. And no kidding. They would even put the 56 cents in the envelope. At no time did they ever give me an offering past $30. Now, if I was into money, I would have said no the first time they did that to me. But like I said, I went over 50 times. I went to the church more than 50 times. So I wasn't there for the money. But I shared the little story just to show you how different ethnic groups in the church, what they think of when they have a guest speaker or they have a preacher come to their church. Okay, so that's the Hispanics. Now, when it comes to my white brethren, which are very nice people, again, I'm not bashing my Caucasian brothers and sisters, but the fact is that all the Caucasians that I dealt with, whether here or in England, they never offered me to take me out to lunch. It was a handshake, and then somebody would give me an envelope, and of course, the envelope was a check. I don't have a problem with a check. Of course, I was not there for the check or the cash. I was there to preach the gospel. But never did anyone from the Caucasian church ever say to me, "Brother, do you need anything? Can you get back home?" Now, again, they gave me a check on a Sunday or when I went. Of course, at the time that they gave me the check, the banks are closed. So at no time. Now, again, this is not – I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the treatment, okay? Now, when I used to go to the black church, some people don't like it when I say African-American. They say, "No, we're black." And then when I say black, some people say to me, they nitpick. They say, "We're African-American." So black/African-American, you take your pick. When I used to go to those churches, this was my experience all the time. They would give me an envelope with cash. And they said, "Listen, we prefer to give you cash because, you know, we don't know what your money situation is, and we want you to have the money available now," which I appreciated that. So they would give me cash for my travel expenses, to cover my travel. Then they would take me out to dinner, which was nice of them, They said, "No, we're going to take you out to eat, and while we eat, we can fellowship." In addition to that, some of the saints in the church would walk up to me and say, "Here, preacher, this is for you." Again, a nice gesture. So what I meant to say yesterday is that among all the groups, the African-Americans / the blacks, They're more conscientious. They're more. I wouldn't say generous, because again, I don't want to use that term. It's not that they were generous, but they were more. They were more concerned whether the preacher had something to eat or whether the preacher could get back home if the preacher had enough gas in their car. Like I said, I went to a few places where, while I was eating in the restaurant, the pastor would have one of the deacons take my car to the gas station and fill it up with gas. So, again, I didn't make those comments yesterday to bash anybody or to put one group above another. It's been my 40-year experience that this is what it is. So, again, I think 40 years, is a long time to test, and to know what each group is like. So, again, I love my white brothers and sisters. They're precious to me. I love my black brothers and sisters. I love my Hispanic brothers and sisters with me. It's never about the money. But different groups, different ethnic groups have different ways of dealing with money in the church and with the guest speaker. That was the point I was trying to make. I'm not trying to say one group is cheap and the other group is more, giving. That wasn't the point. I'm just saying different groups treat their preachers differently. When I used to go to London, I loved if there was a place I could move to right now, I would move to London, because I would live the rest of my life in the bookstores. That's where I would live my life. So not in the museums, not going on tour buses, but down there in the dusty basement of these old antiquarian bookshops where you find gems. So when I used to go to London, it was the same thing. My white brothers they wanted the gospel. I would preach it, and always, they would hand me a check or the equivalent to what we call a check. So I would have to deposit it in the States, and then it would take about 3 or 4 weeks. By the time that they figured out what was the equivalent in pounds to dollars and all that, and I would have to fill out a form with the bank, all that stuff. So, that's just the way they operated. And it was hi and goodbye. It was, that was it. And, again, not bashing anybody, but that was my experience when I used to go to London twice a year. Back in my heyday. I'm no longer in my heyday. I'm quite beat up and old and tired and mad because this rat Fink is messing with me. So let me bring on Sister Marie, because I think I've said enough. I messed it up more than what I said yesterday. I don't know. Maybe some of you will still be mad at me. Sister Marie, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm doing good. Despite my trials and tribulations, I'm doing good.
I didn't hear that story, so I didn't know what was going on at first, Interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I found? The people that got burnt by these, it doesn't matter what group. When the people got burnt by someone in the church, doesn't matter what church, they have a tendency not to give, they go the other way, and they don't want to give at all. And it's because someone burnt them in the church. And so they do the wrong thing by not giving at all. And that's where the problem lies, I think. It is good to give. I can tell you that right now. I'm a good giver, and I think that it's you do get blessed by it. So I don't want to go the other way. I think you have to give from your heart, and you have to give to the right person and the right cause. And the
right.
Lord will bless that. It's always happened with me that way. So I can't be against it. But I think, you know, once they get burnt, people get burnt, they go to the extreme the other way and say, and I'm not giving anything. I don't think that's right either. So, you know, that's just my two cents.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. I was pastoring a Spanish church in the Bronx, and one of the female deacons approached me and said, Pastor, my cousin, who is a pastor in Cuba, is here in the United States, and he's making the rounds at several of the churches in the Bronx, seeking missionary support. I was wondering, Pastor, if you can have him. I said, absolutely. Because we had a Sunday morning, so I said, ask him to come and share the word of God with us for the evening service. So this guy was like maybe 25, 26, 27. He was in his 20s. And when I looked at him, the poor guy looked like he was in his 50s because he was living in communist Cuba.
Right.
And he looked old and beat up. A young man, but he looked 50. I mean, he looked raggedy, right? And my heart broke for this guy. So he preached, and it was an evangelical message. You know, it was a good evangelical message. So it was offering time. So I encouraged the people to bless the brother, you know, to be a blessing to him, to give, because, you know, he rarely comes to the United States, and when he does, he needs help so that he could, you know, continue with the four or five churches that he had in Cuba, because it was four or five churches that were under him, and he's like an itinerant preacher. Because, you know, people in Cuba don't want to be preachers. So he was responsible for all of these churches that he would visit. And he would be at, you know, it's not like here in America where we have a preferred day Sunday. No, this guy would be at one church on Monday, another church on Tuesday. So whatever day he could get to them, that would be their Lord's day, right? And maybe that's why he was all raggedy and old and tired looking and the whole thing. So I encourage the saints to give. So now we're talking 1990. I remember it like it was yesterday because it was 1996. And I put $200 of my own money in the offering. And I said to the deacon, when you get all the money, please pass me a little note because I want to know how much we gave. So I think in total, it was 296.
Right.
So I said, so when I saw 200, I said, no, this can't be 296. He said, yeah. So I got back up. I said to the people, listen. And I said, I'm going to speak to you in English because I don't want the Cuban brother to hear what we're talking about. Because the church was bilingual, right? You had, it was a Spanish church, but the people understood English. So I said, I don't want him to hear what I'm telling you. Now, how could it be that the offering is $296 and I gave $200? I don't get that. You mean to tell me between this entire crowd that's here, all of you together gave $96? Because if you subtract my $200, basically what you all gave in this all is $96. I said, did you hear his sob story? Did you hear how he's starving? Right? Okay. So I said to the, I said to one of the sisters, I says, you know that big pot that you use every Sunday to make soup here? She goes, yes, Pastor, I know where the pot is. I said, bring me that pot. And see, what they used to do there in that church in the Bronx was they used to stay, they would come for the morning service, and instead of going home, they would stay at church and cook at church, eat at church,
right.
And then they would be already there for the evening because some people would take buses and, you know, they would take public transportation to get to church. So in order not to do that, they would just stay and have fellowship, and they would cook, and they had this huge pot where they used to make soup. I said, is that pot clean? Bring it to me. So I took the pot, and I told the people, I want this pot full of money because this guy can't leave here with $296. So I
right.
went back into my wallet again. I took out another 100. I said, look, I'm adding another 100. And the pot was full of money. I embarrassed them. And when they brought the pot up, it was a deep, I'm telling you, it was a deep pot. But it wasn't
uh-huh.
for me. It wasn't for me. It was for this poor guy.
Right. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So the pot was full of money. They gave him like $1,200, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
$1,200, which in 1996, I mean, that was, right?
Yeah, that was quite a bit
then.
Yeah.
Then I told the guy, I'm going to pick you up tomorrow. I'm going to take you shopping. I'm going to get you some clothes. I'm going to get you, right? Because, you know, you got to take care of
right.
these people, right? I mean, he's
correct.
In communist Cuba.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
now, as soon as the meeting's over, the deacon comes over to me and says, we have an emergency meeting. Well, what do you mean we have an emergency? Yes. Deaconess so-and-so, deaconess so-and-so has called an emergency meeting. All right, so I go to the emergency meeting, and she rips me to shreds as to how I am the first pastor ever to do that in the church to embarrass the people. I said, wait a minute, you begged me for your cousin to come here and preach. You begged
yes,
me.
Exactly.
You begged me. I didn't
yep.
do this. I said, he took the whole wad of cash. I didn't take anything.
That's right.
I said, you are a Pharisee. You
yep.
are a viper. That's what you are. See, and see, those are my, I can speak from experience.
Yes,
that the same
absolutely.
Lady, the same lady who recommended him to me and begged me and said, please, Fenton, can you bring him home? Can you? And I immediately said, yes, here, bring him this Sunday. This Sunday, bring him. Bring him. And it's not because I didn't
yeah.
have a word. It's because you want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls an emergency meeting to rebuke me about me telling the members to go get the pot and fill it up with cash.
Wow. Wow.
You see, this is the kind of stupidity that you deal with in churches.
Yes.
I had
yes.
to shame her right then and there. I had to shame her.
Yeah.
Because this
yeah.
is your cousin, and you're gonna give me this song and dance now? And I said, look how the people reacted.
Mm-hmm.
You don't let someone leave with $300. And I said to her, you
right.
know, when we collected the $296, how much did you put in the pot?
Yeah, exactly. Good
right?
question. Good question.
Because I know it wasn't the 200. I know it wasn't
yeah.
the 200. So
wow.
That's, you know, so
yeah,
again,
you know.
I'm not I'm not saying it to shame people, or it's just my experience
yeah.
from different ethnic groups
right.
that when it comes to money and taking care of preachers and all that, the black church is just a little bit more conscientious. And I don't
mm-hmm.
want to use the word generous, but they're more liberal
mm-hmm.
in their giving.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just the way they are. It's
right.
just, you know, it's just,
yeah.
it's just
well,
the way
you
they
know.
Are.
You know. I mean, you know, how many years have you been preaching? A long time. Been in a lot of churches. You know all about that. What's going on. You know. But, you know, the one thing that gets me is a lot of the same people that will give these false prophets, they'll run up and give them $1,000 for a word, a false word. When they go to or find someone and they get out of there and they find someone who's preaching truth, they don't want to part with a 20. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
They were taken for that 1,000, but, you know, they ran up for that 1,000 for that word. But when they get the truth and they get the word, they don't want to put up a 20 for it. No, because they were burnt before. Now, that bothers me. You know,
right.
So
right,
they go
right.
to the extreme the other way. So that's crazy. And I'm sure you've seen that many
right,
a time.
Yeah, now that you mention that, I had a guy in the new church approach one of my deacons and and say to the deacon, now this new guy, he's just been showing up with his wife and his kids, but they're looking for a church. They're looking.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not members of the church, but they're looking. And
right.
so he said to the, he approached one of the deacons who he knows. They're friends from the community. And he said to the deacon, I have some concerns about the church. And he's telling the deacon that, you know, he's been to numerous churches and he's gotten burned.
Mm-hmm.
So the deacon brings him over to me, right? And so the guy says to me, you know, I've been to this church and I got burned. I said, okay, let me explain something to you. I said, I knew a guy who was married once.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that behind his back, his wife upped his life insurance. And while she upped his life insurance without him knowing it, she was giving him antifreeze in his iced tea.
Oh, jeez.
So, now, of course, this is a made-up story of mine. This is not real.
Oh.
This is just, I would call it.
Hear me for a minute.
Right. I would call it a ghetto parable. Because I'm from the hood, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy, his first wife gives him, ups his life insurance, and she's just married to him because she wants to cash out once he dies.
Mm-hmm.
So he discovers that she's a good-for-nothing, and he divorces her. A few years later, he finds another woman, and he marries her. And then she leaves with his best friend. She, you know, she cuts out. She, you know, she runs off with his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So then he meets the third woman. When he meets the third woman, he says, you know, I would like to have a relationship with you, but I don't trust women because my first wife did this and my second wife did this. And so the third woman says to him, well, why are you crying on me? That's what they did to you. I didn't do that to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the man, you're looking at us like the third wife.
Yes.
It's the other two that did something to you, but you're coming here now and you're murmuring and you're complaining about us.
Mm-hmm.
And we ain't even married yet. We're on the first date.
Yes, exactly.
But here you are telling us about what your first wife did and what your second wife did. And I said to them, what you need to do is you need to go to therapy. Because the third woman doesn't want to hear it.
Yes, exactly.
I don't want to hear, I said to them, I don't want to hear your sob story.
Mm-hmm.
If you got taken, it's on you, not on us. And I'm not going to sit here for hours trying to stroke you and make you feel good so that you can stay to up our numbers. So I think what you need to do is go get some therapy.
Yeah.
You know, I am not going to now change your diaper because your mom and dad walked out on you.
Right.
I'm not changing a diaper of a 50-year-old. Sorry. I'm not doing
that. Right.
So if that means you don't come back, that means you don't come back.
Right.
Because you're going to be a problem.
Some people like to remain a victim. Yeah, they want to remain a victim.
Exactly.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You see, you get this all the time. People say, look what they did to me. Yeah, but I didn't do it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Somebody shot you in the street, and why are you blaming me for it? That was some other
mm-hmm.
citizen that did that to you. That's why if you get hit by a car, try to take the license plate number. So this way you can hold that person responsible. Don't hold every driver responsible.
Right.
Hold the person
right.
that hit you responsible. I didn't hit you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get these soft stories, and the deacon says, you were kind of rough on – well, it's time to grow up.
It is, really, because, you know, even though I said that, like I said, they go one way or the other. Like
right.
I said, you know, they go to the – it's not right that they do that, and they need to get over it and move on. That's the thing. You know, this thing about being victims all the time, now that you bring that right into the church then. Nobody wants
right.
to hear it.
No,
you know?
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
At the end of the day, who was stupid enough to give the money?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, you got to be honest with yourself.
Who was stupid enough to stay at T.D. Jakes' church for 30 years?
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Or if you went to Creflo Dollar's church and he ripped you off all those years because of tithes and offerings, why are you holding me responsible for what he did to you?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
No, so don't bring, and the deacon says, but how are we going to grow if you do that? No, because, listen, you can deal with that. I'm not dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
yeah,
not
don't
dealing
bring
with
that here.
Mess. Yeah, I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to teach people to survive, you know, that you're a survivor, actually, in Christ, you know? There's hope in Christ, and you can't bring in somebody who's, you know, perpetual victim and is going to remain like that in the church, you know, because eventually
sure.
that will rub off, you know, everybody will start feeling that way. But, it's, you know, what can I say?
It's like Don Lemon, you know, that guy on CNN. We just
mm-hmm.
got demoted. He
mm-hmm.
was complaining about reparations. And this British
mm-hmm.
woman just slapped him up. She put him in his place.
Yeah.
Just slapped.
Right.
They just knocked them silly because he wants England.
Yep.
He wants the Queen to pay for reparations, and she took him to school. It was awesome.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So you know,
I did one of a British lady before. I don't know if it was the same one who was in the House of Lords or something, and she spoke about being black and being British. And she said, my parents chose to come here, you know.
Right, right, right.
And I grew up, you know, I grew
sure.
up here, and she had, you know, I mean, she just put CRT.
Mm-hmm.
She just flushed that, I'm telling you.
Absolutely.
And just
absolutely.
Standing up, I mean, the way it was amazing. And she spoke truth. I mean, that's the thing. The people don't want to hear truth. That is the problem because they have, you know, a confirmation bias on something going into it.
Yep.
You know, and that's always a problem. It's always a problem. They don't want to see the truth. So,
absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry you went through that because you do know, having been in church your entire life, you've seen it all.
Yeah, I mean,
you know.
I'm sure there's things I'm going to be shocked with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, that bishop in Brooklyn who basically robbed himself, you know, that's a new one, right? Where
yeah,
supposedly
exactly.
he, right, I mean, that's, you know, every now and then somebody comes up with something even dumber than what you've already seen. And you thought you
yeah.
saw it all, and then, you know, you say to yourself, wow, this guy's really dumb. But, yeah, for the most
yeah.
part, you know. And,
yeah.
I mean, it's
well, you're
like
going to get a lot of shock about society in general. I think, you know, right when I think, I've heard it all, I'm hearing news stories that just, you know, floor me of how dumbed down people are. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I'm shocked even a few times to the level, you know, of downgrade in society. And that spills over into the church. You know, it's crazy. That's crazy. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because if I had a church question, I ask you. So I trust you with that. You know that.
Yeah,
you know,
and I don't know what goes on. And like for example, if you were to say to me, how does the church in Korea operate? I don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
How does the church in Russia operate? I don't have a clue. How does the church in North Korea, if you were to ask me about the church in Germany or the church in Sweden or the church in Switzerland, I don't have a clue. But I'm an expert with churches in America.
That's right.
An expert at. I can't tell you how the churches operate in Mexico. I can't tell you how they, I just can't. I have 40 years of experience here in churches in America. And
behind the scenes experience. That's what makes it different.
Yeah.
You know, you're not the attendee, just the attendee. You preach at these churches. So you know what happens behind the scenes and, you know, where most people don't. They may have been in church 40 years of their life or whatever, but they don't know what happens behind the scenes. And that's where we get a glimpse a lot of times, you know, from you letting us know what's really happening, you know, behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. So, that's been helpful to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, well, we're going to do this show here. What we're going to do is we're the last nail in Elizabeth, her coffin today. I mean, you know, the reason I thought it was a good opportunity during this funeral to show some symbolism, you know, right there in front of us with the royalty and all that. There's a lot of symbolism there. And to show the idolatry around us. I mean, that was a perfect example and a perfect time to do that. Not a perfect time for her to die. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is there's, you know, that's rich in symbolism. I don't know if you watched the funeral, and I thought, I wonder how many people are looking at the checkerboard square, you know, the floor, the squares in the floors and the different coloring and things like that. Like I said last week, just look around at the funeral. And it's, you know, so, you know, we're to flee idolatry and we're to worship God. Everyone knows that. So these elites, one of the things I wanted to show is they dabble in all sorts of paganism. Yet they believe that when they die, that they will go to heaven, or, you know, that the people around them believe that. And they also believe that themselves. People in the church, I hear, you know, speaking like, because she used the name of God or the name of Jesus, you know, they're going to heaven. That, you know, it's crazy how people believe that stuff.
Right.
And as we pointed out, or you pointed out last week, that polytheism is a belief in many gods. Is that correct? That's what
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's what the agenda is. But on top of that, you have the belief system that you can believe, you know, the system is, or this religion, you can believe anything you want. You can be involved in any type of secret society. You can be in any form of paganism and still go to heaven. Now, that's what's being promoted today, whether people believe that or not. You know, and what this does is broaden the narrow way spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So, you know, there's only one belief that will not be allowed, and that's faith in Jesus Christ, you know, alone, Christ alone. You will not be allowed to believe that, you know, and survive in this society because you're going to be singled out. And that's what all these different agendas do, is they're singling out the Christian in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're
right.
just making it the broad way, but they're making our way narrow. You see, we're getting singled out and everything. Like, we can't believe this. We can't believe the Bible. They're taking down, actually, it's an attack against God and his word. Because
right.
we have to stand for that. And with this agenda, you just can't. So, you know, this week I saw some people being arrested for holding a sign that said to end the monarchy. Now, they didn't say it. They just held up a sign. They were
right.
arrested. There was another one arrested for holding a sign that said, "Not my king," speaking of
wow.
Charles. And I just want people to know that this is a sign of things to come. If we stay on this course, this will happen to us eventually.
Right.
You know. So believe that. Believe that. That will happen because it's starting to happen, you know, on the internet. It's, you know, it's
right.
a slow process coming in that it's just a little bit harder here. Yeah, a little
mm-hmm.
harder. But, you know, I heard also, I read in my local newspaper that going into Canada, people going into Canada now are being advised not to take their telephones just for the mere fact that they can check your contacts in Canada. They can go through and read your text messages and see who you've been in contact with. And that's all a part of that data thing that they put on the phones over there. So
mm-hmm.
if someone has, you know, that data, vaccine data thing on their phone, they can check contacts without your permission and check who
wow.
you listen to. I mean, it's scary. And they were saying you're just better off if you go into Canada and not take a telephone at all.
Wow.
Yep. And I can send you that article. So, okay, Audio One, we have Hugo today because Hugo's doing well, and I'm really excited about that he's a believer. You know what I mean? He's trying.
Yeah.
And in one of these audios, he's trying apologetics. I mean, you know, a little bit of apologetics.
Sure, sure.
So, in these, he talks about, you know, plants in the crowd, and this is called the mother of all psyops. Begun. And this is Audio One, and it's 8 minutes and 28 seconds. You can stop it as you like or just play it through. It doesn't matter. Because we're going to let Hugo talk today. He's doing a great job on this, I can tell you that. Pointing out certain things, and he's doing a good job of warning the people over there what's going on, and I think it's a good lesson for us too. You know? He's right on target, by the way. From what
well,
I
let's
checked.
See what he let's see what he's got to say.
Okay.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks, and welcome to the beginning of the mother of all mind-controlled psyops. Yesterday, I posted a video about how they were going to soon announce the death of the Queen. It was obvious. All the news platforms, all the presenters were wearing black. And after I posted the video, then a couple of hours later, they announced it. Now, as I said, once this happens, these media companies will go into mega overdrive with the pro-monarchy propaganda. This is something they have been planning for years, decades even. They are now announcing an extension to the mourning period of 17 days, whatever that is. This is what Dragon Boy Charles has announced. 17 days of mourning. The TV stations are running wall-to-wall blanket transmissions about the Queen. They are hand-picking gullible people to interview for their segments. We've got people being interviewed in tears, queues for books of condolences, people saying things like, "The mother of our nation has passed," ooh, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I mean, come on, they're not even English. Surely you know that. See how spellbound some people are. This is a real litmus test to see who is still completely under the spell, who are deluded, who are still under the mind control of the media. Here is Charles today shaking people's hands on the way into Buckingham Palace. And yeah, I mean, some people seem to be out of their minds.
It's sad because this guy doesn't give a hoot about anybody.
Nope. Listen, I contacted my best friend the other day in England, you know, my best friend over there. And I contacted her, and she never said a word about Charles. I don't know if you know, you're restricted or you have to be careful, or she just didn't want to talk about it.
Right, right.
But there's no love. I've never heard anybody have a great love for Charles over there. Not one.
Yep. Yep.
Nobody I know.
Absolutely. The ones that I do know talk about him, call him a bum.
Yep.
So, you know,
yep.
What do I know? I'm
yep.
not there. But from afar, he looks like a bum to me. From
right.
afar.
Yeah.
So,
well, you'd be close. You'd be close.
Well, at his age, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, has, right? What is
my husband said. Congratulations, your first job at 73.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's not even a job. It's not even a job.
Nope. Well, I can see him losing it, getting huffy in interviews and doing things where he's showing his true colors. You know, he's not, you know, as sweet as people think, or, you know, just standing around like a bump on a log. You know, he's not doing
sure.
that. He's expecting to be waited on.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
He's showing his disgust if things don't go right, and he's just, you know, he can't disguise that like the Queen could.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. All righty.
All right.
So you got, I don't know, you got people singing, God Save the King. There's a good chance these people singing, yeah, were placed into the audience in order to try and get the other people, to influence the other people in the crowd, to get the majority then to sing along, to create a scene for the cameras, in order to create the illusion of a, you know, people are pro-Charles being the king, etc., etc. It's nothing new. I mean, for decades, you know, whenever a member of the royal family have an engagement, they have people handing out flags to the crowd and all of that crap to wave for when they appear. Most of the time, the popularity is artificially stimulated. But saying that, even so, there are a massive amount of numbers of people here who are there under their own merit. Yeah, it's their choice. All of them emotionally attached to people they have never met, who couldn't care less about you. All of them deluding themselves, believing they have some form of emotional connection with someone who they don't know, who they have never met. They have no idea what they are doing. I mean, look at them. So many of them with their Black Mirror devices. They want to be there, yet they don't want to completely interact with the situation. They do it behind the camera. This is how spellbound some people are. I also keep hearing reports of people leaving flowers with a message on saying to the Queen, saying, thank you for your service, Your Majesty. Yeah? You're thanking the Queen for her service to you. I mean, what service is this? Where did you get this make-believe gibberish from? Oh, yes, the mind control. If you believe that, then I'm sorry, but if you're in the UK, the royal family don't serve you. You serve them.
That's it. That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. I still pay taxes there, bro. We pay taxes
yeah.
out of
yeah.
a pension there.
Sure.
So we were wondering what guard we paid for that day.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
It's sad because this guy was despised. And,
that's right.
And now that the queen is dead, they have to worship somebody else now.
Yep.
It goes on
because the line here, listen, bro, the line, they have that tied up for generations. None of us will be here. And
right. That
they will be in power until they turn the kingdom over to the beast. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if you look at it, you know, and you look at it, the royal family, it goes down. It doesn't go sideways, you know.
Right, right.
The monarch now goes down. So it's going to go from, you know, Charles to William and then William's children.
Right.
You see? Before it
mm-hmm.
even gets to Harry. Harry's like
right.
fifth on the list.
Right.
And then it goes to Harry's children. It just goes on and on and on now. So this is it. This is, you know, the days of taking power over is gone.
Sure.
They have this tied up for 25, 30, maybe more generations, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I don't think it'll go that long, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
tied up. So they're it.
Sure. Sure. And when you look at this nonsense, and it's the same thing when the Pope shows up.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere the Pope goes, oh, my God, the throngs of people that go. And they listen to
yeah.
this guy. You listen, if you ever listen to the Pope, you'll fall asleep in 10 seconds.
Exactly.
Try listening to Charles. You'll fall asleep in 5 seconds.
Exactly.
These people have no
yeah.
charisma. None.
None.
So it's all about the lies that people are fed. This is your king.
Yep.
How in the heck did he become my king?
Right.
How is that even possible? That's not even possible. But the people are fed. And here in the United States, I mean, oh, my, the day that they were going to bury her, when it started
mm-hmm.
at like 5 a.m., oh, that Martha McCollum on Fox News, oh, the queen this,
mm-hmm.
the queen that, and then they had Piers Morgan on, and he's talking, oh,
wow.
my goodness, and, oh, it went on and on and on and on, and I'm saying, these people are into baloney. They're into nonsense. Pure.
It's idolatry at its finest,
yeah.
isn't it,
for yes.
idolizing
I mean,
a person.
And I'm listening, and I'm saying, who believes that garbage? Who really believes it? You have to be
right.
stupid. You have to be moronic to believe
mm-hmm.
this stuff, like Hugo says.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, he's trying to educate them over there.
But you cannot educate people. You cannot educate people that are brainwashed. Because their
yes,
brain
exactly.
is gone. There's nothing
right.
there for you to educate. There's nothing
yeah.
there. They're gone. They're gone.
That's
they're
right.
gone. This is why I don't bother. See, when people come to me and they have their issues, I say, listen, I can't help you. I can't. Because
mm-hmm.
they're so far gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wind up in a loony bin trying to help them.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand
exactly
what you're saying.
Yeah, and this is why, let me put it this way. In the church, there's two ways in which you can waste your time. There's two ways in which you, in a church, two ways, and I'm
mm-hmm.
going to explain. The first one is, if you have a bad pastor, and you're, Lord, change him. Lord, turn him around. Lord,
yeah.
save him. Okay, you're wasting your time. That
right.
joker is never going to change. Okay? Now,
right.
I'll give you a scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul,
right,
seeing I have rejected him?"
Mm-hmm.
So Samuel is, "Oh, Lord, change him. Oh, Lord, save him. Oh, Lord, give him a new heart." And the Lord says, "How long are you going to continue with this futile exercise?" So that's one way in which you can, as a member, waste your time with a pastor. But also,
right,
a pastor can waste his time with crazy costals and charismaniacs because you
mm-hmm.
can't change them either.
Right.
See? The pastor who loves the Lord and loves the scriptures, when these crazy people come to you, if they're Jennifer LeClaire disciples and they're into the sneaky squid spirit, you know what you do?
Mm-hmm.
You say, "Here, I want to gift you a fish tank. Here's a fish tank, and go have fun. Go have church. Fill it up with water and get in there and have church." Or give them
yeah.
a, you know those little plastic pools that they have for little kids? Give them a little plastic
right.
pool and say, "Go have church," with your sneaky squid spirit.
Right.
That's the best you can do. Don't waste your time.
Right.
Don't do it.
Yeah. You're
because they're crazy.
You're absolutely right with that.
They're crazy.
You're absolutely right. And that takes time to learn that because you try and you try and you try and you try. And you just get wore out trying
Absolutely.
To change someone. And people tell you, what do they say? When you warn other people, what do they say? "Well, I stay because I think I can make a difference." that's what they say. And it's like, no, you're not making any difference.
Absolutely.
He's gone.
That's it. It's over. It's over. It's
yes,
over.
Exactly.
So
that's right.
These people that are here, see, these people also lend themselves, because now the TV cameras are on, and the people on this side of the Atlantic, "Oh, look at the people, how they love Charles. So we have to love
mm-hmm.
him too, because he's good for America."
Yes.
See?
Yes.
And that's the propaganda.
Don't believe it.
Right, that's the propaganda.
Yes, to get you to accept, and I want to... Think about that, though, bro. You just made a good point. If they can get that in the media across to people in the United States and say, "This is how we feel," and that's why Hugo says there's plants in there. All the people
sure.
that say these wonderful things are planted in there. And
Absolutely.
He said, if they can do that, what will they do with the Antichrist? How do they get him accepted? The same way.
Right.
Propaganda.
And the Antichrist is going to be charismatic.
Yes.
Which gives him a leg up because, Charles, what, I mean, please. He'll put you to sleep. He'll put you to sleep.
Yeah, he's called Dragon Boy, you know.
Really?
Yes. Didn't you hear? Hugo called him Dragon Boy. Yeah, that's a nickname.
Okay.
Mm, interesting.
Right, here's more.
You serve them, and you're doing it now. I mean, you're singing to them and telling them you love them. Oh, man. They don't serve you. You serve them. Who do you think in this video, yeah, out of all these people, who has a butler serving them at one of their many houses or castles? Yes, that would be Charles. Charles has a butler who serves him at his home. All of these other people in the crowd, all of these normal people, don't have butlers serving them at their homes. They don't serve you. You serve them. What exactly has the royal family given you? What exactly did the Queen or Charles provide in this service that they were providing for you? What was it exactly? But they take. The royal family total worth is an estimated 100 billion plus, so says Forbes magazine. That is a conservative estimate, yeah? I would say it's far, far, far higher. Yet they take 100 million plus from the UK taxpayer per year, on top of all the money they make as landlords to the peasants. I mean, go and ask people of Cornwall what they think of Dragon Boy Charles as a landlord. He's a feudal landlord. Go and look it up. But they take, anyway, the royal family take 100 million from the UK taxpayer per year. They don't ask you. They don't ask for donations. It's not an option. They forcibly take it through legislation that they create. They take it out of your taxes. They don't ask. You don't have a choice in this. So one of the world's richest families, worth over 100 billion, forcibly take 100 million from the public, from the peasants, including the poorest of the poor, those that use food banks, people who stack shelves in supermarkets, people who can't pay their rent. They take from the poor who need the money for themselves, and they give it to the one of the richest families in the world who don't need it, yeah? And people are so mind-controlled that they have been conditioned to think that this is okay when it's plainly, clearly, logically, completely wrong. I mean, if you think it's right, why don't you agree to have more of your wages taken and given to Jeff Bezos at Amazon? He doesn't need the extra money either. These people are out of their minds. They don't serve you. Leaving flowers and saying, thank you for your service. If that makes sense to you, then you need to go away and do some work on yourself. And these same people who are being continually leached off of are here singing, crying, upset over someone they never met, who was the head of a super rich family, which takes money from you without asking your permission. And then on top of that, I mean, just one example, yeah, that money was then used last year by the Queen to pay $12 million to bribe Virginia Roberts to stop her pursuing Prince Andrew in court. Hush money, yeah, to cover up crimes. And you think they serve you? No, you serve them. They take your money, money they don't need, as they have infinite riches because they've been doing this for a long, 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 long time. And part of the mother of all psyops is to make you think this is okay. And this happening now is to reaffirm that psychological operation of control, to make you believe that this is normal, that this is right, when it's not okay. It's abnormal. It's plain wrong. It's only one day in, and even though I'm not watching this stuff on the TV, I'm only picking up snippets of footage on social media, you can already tell it's going to be pretty full on, yeah? It's like watching a slow motion insane asylum when I see the way some people are reacting. Anyway, that's my opinion. Let us know what you think in the comments. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, and I'll see you later.
Hugo's on the money.
I like Hugo. I like him more and more. Well, someone wrote, Christmas this year won't be the same without the Queen's speech, you know, because she speaks every Christmas, and
sure,
that pacifies the people for the year. And someone else wrote, it won't be the same because you'll be eating squirrel cooked over a candle whilst wearing five jumpers, five sweaters.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Exactly.
Sure.
Oh, craziness. It gets crazy.
It does.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's like I said, it's like when the Pope shows up and all the, oh, the Pope, oh, my God. Or, listen, let's put it in our arena. When Joe Osteen shows up at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx with Victoria, and the people
mm-hmm.
are drooling all over Joel Osteen, who cares? Who
yeah,
cares?
Really.
Well, the place is packed. It's full of zombies.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Years ago, back in the 1980s, when Jimmy Swaggart used to make his way to New York, I was told on numerous occasions that when he would preach at Madison Square Garden, if you wanted to shake Jimmy's hands, you had to have $100 on hand in cash.
Mm.
And
yeah,
let me tell
wow.
you, the line of people wanting to shake Jimmy's hand.
He couldn't
line.
Get 100 in his church for a long time. Sorry.
The
after
line.
The
yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Now, here's
so,
something to think about, though. She was the leader of the Commonwealth of 14 other countries. And if you add England, that's 15 countries.
Right.
That she's actually the leader of the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
Of. That's 15 countries.
Yeah.
Think about that biblically.
Mm-hmm.
She has control of the Commonwealth of 14. Now that passes on to Charles.
Correct.
So he is now the leader of the Commonwealth of over 15 countries.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary. That's scary.
Yeah.
Think about.
But like anything else, the beat goes on. The beat
yes,
goes
exactly.
on. Right?
Yep.
Because
it's
you know, it
I'll
is
tell
what it
you,
is.
When she died, I can honestly say I felt my stomach just drop because I knew what was ahead, you know?
Sure.
It's like,
sure.
And it wasn't mourning over her. That wasn't it. It was like, ooh, there's one more thing, you know? I just got this feeling in my stomach. It's like, oh, here we go. You
sure.
know? And right away, one of the things he's already into is they're back to Russia. See, they get off her. They're back
mm-hmm.
to Putin. They're back to problems.
Sure.
They're back to war within a day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
but during,
a day
but
or
for
two.
Those, but for those 2 weeks, oh, my goodness, they were there. Oh, the queen. Oh, where are they going to
yeah.
put her? Where is she popping up now? Where are they taking the casket?
Yeah.
Oh, and they're marching. They're walking. They're standing behind the casket. Is little Prince Louis going to walk? Because Charlotte and what's his name is walking. And
yeah.
who's walking and
yeah.
who's not walking? And who's in the car?
Right.
And who's wearing the hat and who's not wearing the hat? And who's disrespectful? And oh my
yeah.
goodness, it went on and on and on.
It did. You want to hear something funny? They said, when Joe Biden went, well, the first thing he did something stupid. It's all, you know, royal, everything. He walks up, and I seen him poke the Archbishop of Canterbury, like just poke him with his finger.
Moron.
I mean, and they put him 14 rows back in the seating.
They should have put
sorry.
Him 15. They should have put him 100 rows back.
Do you know what Trump said? He said, position is everything.
That's what Trump said?
Yes.
Wow.
He said, 14 rows back. He goes, you know, position is everything. He said,
wow.
I'd have been up front. I'd have been up front in the front seat, you know, or something up in the
sure,
front row
sure.
representing our country. But he said, you know, position is everything. That just said it all right there.
Wow. Wow.
That was pretty
amazing.
Witty, I thought.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You know Trump. You know Trump.
Yeah, yes. Once
yeah.
in a while he comes out with something pretty witty. That was it. Oh. Okay. So we've got a 16-minute. I'm pushing these here because I had a
mm-hmm.
lot of them. But we have a 16-minute audio, and what is this one? This is what the public really thinks. I think we already know. And there's a picture of Epstein in there and his co-conspirator Maxwell at the
okay.
Queen's residence at Balmoral. So think about that. He visits
wow.
Balmoral. Epstein did, and his co-conspirator, Maxwell, that lady.
All right, here it is.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talk. So the title of this video is What the Public Really Thinks. Of course, everyone has an opinion, but as I have said in the previous video, we are in the midst of the mother of all psyops, and you can see now what I mean with the never-ending blanket media coverage. All other news seems to have stopped. There is only one topic, and that is also happening on social media. And also you can see many of the people, the organizations that claim to be the alternative to the mainstream media, the ones that I always get a hard time for calling controlled opposition, you can see they are all now also towing the pro-monarchy propaganda agenda and saying, long live the new king or whatever they say. Now, much of the media, news platforms are censoring comments. Some of them even switching comments off. I noticed Australia on one of their news channels has wall-to-wall King Charles Queen videos, and they've got the comments switched off. Obviously, they're getting a lot of negative comments. So I thought I would do a video and highlight talk about your actual comments on my video, the one I did the other day, the Mother of All Psyops Has Begun video, as it got a lot of comments, over 2,500 comments. Surprising, really, and very few comments that disagreed with what I was saying, which was also surprising. Okay, so let's start with this one. Interesting thing is that most of the YouTube videos from the corporate media are getting less likes than Hugo's videos, and of course we don't know how many dislikes. The BBC has over 12 million subscribers, but gets as little as 500 likes for some of its content. Perhaps the royals are not as popular as the Beeb like to pretend. Now, this is a good point. Not only does the mainstream media create a false illusion, with many, I believe, manufactured events and the reporting on them being incredibly exaggerated, but also they create the illusion of popularity for certain people and for certain stories on social media. And that's easy to do with bots. I also believe that many of these platforms have multipliers attached to them that then make their views seem much, much higher. I mean, on Twitter, for example, if you look at some of the recent tweets about the Queen and Charles and the royal family and look through the thousands of likes, you can easily spot many, many bot accounts. You can spot them. Many of them won't have a picture. They won't have a description, and you can check their account and they won't have any actual posts, any tweets. But on the other hand, they would have liked 20,000 other people's tweets, and you will look and you will see that the account was only opened in July. And then you compare them to the other numerous bot accounts and they all like the same identical tweets. You can see these have been brought in to make these people, these organizations, seem far more popular than they really are. So many of these artificially boosted tweets are from the royals and the UK government. I mean, I know an event such as this, there will always be a large number of people on social media interacting with something like this, but still, they add bots to it to increase those numbers even more, so it seems that there's more support for the establishment than there really is. It's called cheating, basically. Here's a clip of fake stream media, talk TV, talk radio, here with what looks suspiciously like a plant.
The hardest working woman, certainly ever, and probably the hardest working monarch, because no other monarch has covered what she's ever covered.
The hardest working woman ever, yeah. Pro-royal propaganda, and it's probably fake. If not, then these people scour the crowds until they find someone who is deluded enough to say something like that, and then they get featured on the program. You're not dealing with reality.
Well, it's the same thing with the pastors here in America. Oh, he's the hardest working man of God. He's so anointed. He's working for us people. The Joker ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't do anything. The hardest working what?
I know.
The guy's a bum. He's a bum.
It's the same thing. Oh, exactly. It's their perception. See, they're trying to create this reality that doesn't exist, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
right.
To make you perceive something that isn't really true.
Correct.
You know? So what we see on TV, the thousands lined up, a lot of them are just, you know, there because they wanted to be there. To say they were there, you know.
Right.
And they do, a lot of people do worship the Queen, or dead.
and still do. But Charles, that's a different story.
Yeah, you know, the Queen's been around for 70 years, so I can understand why people kind of love her.
Yeah, they've known. Yeah.
But Charles?
Yeah.
Charles?
Unfortunately, he's been around for 73
This is horrible. Yeah. Horrible, yeah. All right.
I'm going to give you a little tidbit here that I picked up. You know, Biden, and most people, I'm not sure how many people heard this, and I'm not sure it's even in this audio, but Biden was supposed to meet with the new prime minister on Tuesday. Now,
right.
Her funeral was on Monday. On Tuesday, the new prime minister of England canceled and said she would talk to him at the UN meeting on Wednesday.
Really?
So they buried her. Yes. I heard that, and I thought, oh, my goodness. I heard that, you know, they were talking away on the news when the funeral's going on, and I said, wait a minute. I need to write that down because a lot of people would have missed it. But so they buried her on Monday. On Wednesday, they're at a UN meeting.
Wow.
All these leaders are meeting. I thought, that's sneaky.
Sure.
Yeah, they
weren't
going home. They were heading to a UN, to the UN, to gather together. So.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yep. All right.
The problem is these organizations feed the public this fake nonsense, and then some of the public start to buy into it, and then more people turn up. And it snowballs from there. Okay, next comment. This comment got 1,000 likes. So much for a pandemic, hey? He kissed a woman in the crowd, yet my doctor still can't see me and is still wearing masks. Yeah, no problem shaking hands now, isn't it? And some woman kissed his sausage fingers. Yeah, the stuff of nightmares right there. Yeah, you know, come the end of September, Germany are reintroducing masks for public transport, for long journeys, reintroducing masks. And it's apparently staying until April 2023. I mean, you can see where that's going. Can the public see they have been taken for a ride yet? Well, 1,000 people like this comment. Okay, so here we have 3 comments similar together. So many with Stockholm Syndrome. It's heartbreaking. How many of these weren't permitted to see their dying loved ones? Did anyone notice how depressing the radio stations were? Every single song was mellow and emotional. That in itself was mind control. They were brainwashing the public into mourning. And another one here, Stockholm Syndrome is coping mechanism to someone in a captive or abusive situation. People develop positive feelings towards their captors or abusers over time, says it all really. So, yeah, I agree. Like I said, you should check out the video Prince Charles, the man who shouldn't be king, how he treats his duchy tenants in Cornwall. I mean, what you could be looking at here is the start of a feudal, communist, hybrid system coming in after, of course, they crashed the economy. There is a lot of ways this could go in the future because what I think we are witnessing with the media especially is a Marxist communist strategy. And this is where, you know, you have the media and the controlled opposition, the alternative media, working together to create outrage in the public. That's what they do, to divide people in all sorts of ways. You're seeing it in America now with the Biden and the MAGA. Both sides of the media, I believe, are controlled, whipping the public into a storm, into a frenzy, to get the public fighting one another, to create a civil war environment. And in the UK, they use every demographic going and try and turn them all against each other, blacks against whites, rich against poor, the LGBTQ thing, the jabbed against the unjabbed, the immigrants, defund the police, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Extinction Rebellion. I can foresee some event happening in the future in regards to the Ukraine immigrants. So they get people turning against them and vice versa and so forth.
Now that he mentioned all those different things, the jab, the unjabbed, whatever, today, my wife took me to give blood. And so it was at the Herkimer Community College. And I went to give blood because my doctor recommended that I give blood.
The doctor recommended you give blood. Are you still there? Well, I'm not sure if I lost you or not.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay.
The doctor recommended you give blood.
Right, yeah.
That's the last thing you said.
Yeah, he recommended, my blood is thick. He recommended that I give blood. So the wife signs me up. I'm shocked. I'm being dragged to give blood. So we arrive, and then they said, have you read the manual? I says, what manual? So they give me this. They say, you can read it on your phone. Or I says, I don't have a phone. I you know, so, okay. So they give me this thing. And they said, read it and get back to us. So 2 minutes later, now it's a 10-page, 8.5 by 11 sheets back and front. So it's 20 sheets of paper. So I walk up to the lady 2 minutes later, and I said, I read it. She says, I just gave it to you. I said to her, I'm a speed reader. So she's not buying it, and my wife is like, can you behave yourself now? I said, listen, I'm not reading that crap, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not your child where you're going to tell me I'm here to give blood to the Red Cross. I'm not here to be tutored or indoctrinated or whatever, okay? All right, so I'm a speed reader. That's it. You don't like, that's my answer. I'm a speed reader. I read it. Okay. So then they call me. Okay. So the guy says, can you please tell us your name? So I give him my name, date of birth. I give him that. Okay. He says, what's your race? I said to him, human. He said, what? I said, I'm a member of the human race. He says, no, what race are you? I said, listen, you have the human race and you have the planet of the apes. I'm from the human race. So my wife runs over and she says, can I sit with him here because he's out of control today.
He's bad.
Yeah. And you know what it is they're pushing critical race theory, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Right. So I said, human race. There's only one race, human, right?
That's right.
Okay. So then he says, what sex are you? I says, you're kidding me. what's she? He says, that's your wife. I said, you got your answer. If that's my wife, what does that make me?
Oh.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So then while I'm sitting there, that stupid song from Paula White's husband comes on from Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And I said, I hate that song.
That's it.
That's it. I had enough. And the guy starts cracking up. He starts cracking up. And
he made me laugh.
So from that point on, we hit it off. But I'm not taking any guff from anybody. No one's indoctrinating me. No one's going to force me to pick their answers. That's
right.
It. I'm not reading a 20-page document. And by the way, one of the things they had on there, that if you had been to the UK since the year 2000 and you spent 3 months there, you can't give blood. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you've been to the UK since, I think it read 1990, if you were there, if you had gone to the UK from 1996 to the present and you spent 3 months there, you know, I said to my wife, I've been there so many times, I can't give blood today. She said, yeah, but you weren't there for 3 months. I said, but I went so many times, it adds up to 3 months.
Yes, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And that was what year, 96?
From 1996 forward.
Oh,
and
my
gosh. This was from the Red Cross. Yeah.
Wow, I wonder why. Because they don't want to mix that DNA.
Well, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that speed reading, you know, when you speed read, you're basically saying garbage, garbage, garbage. And, you know, so I went through the 20 pages real fast. Yeah. So, but I caught that because I thought that was a loophole for me not to get blood. And, you know,
I can give you a quick one on that. I can give you a quick one on how crazy it is. I got a call from my health insurance company.
Right.
And they asked me, they said, you know, included in your health insurance that I pay for.
Right.
They said we'd like to do a home wellness check. I said, a wellness check? That's for old people who live alone. You know what? And they said, well, what we want to do is, and it's offered to everyone with this insurance, we want to do a deep dive into your medical condition or to see if you have any, and we can give you all the answers and we'll send a technician to your home. I said, I don't think so.
Right.
I said, listen, here's how it works. I pay you, and if I need to go to the doctor, I go. If
right.
I don't need to go to the doctor, I don't.
Right.
I pay you, and you offer a service. You pay
right.
the balance going to work. So, you
right.
know, you know where you can put the home visit?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, anyway, so that ended that call. But that was, I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, sure. They're all crazy. They're all crazy. So, yeah, and then the guy says, okay, you got to sit over there for 15 minutes and because you might be a little woozy. So there's chips and there's juices over there. So I took one juice, and it was those little box juices for kindergartners. So I drank one, and then I went back and got four. And my wife says, "But why?" I said, "Because this is for kindergartners. Look how big I am. What do you think? What little square box juice is gonna? I need four or five of these things to." So, oh my goodness, what a waste of time. So they said,
"Wow, that's
the next
crazy."
Time, they said, "The next time you're gonna give a blunt will be after November 16th." I said, do I have to read that document again? Because if that's the case, it's not happening.
That's right. That's right.
What race am I? What? Do I look like Planet of the Apes here? I mean, this is crazy.
Oh,
great.
It is. It's
no,
wild.
The guy said
and
to
you
me,
notice? Go ahead.
He said to me, what did you say? I said, human. Human.
He never heard that before.
He never heard that before. Never heard that before.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling
crazy.
You, this new generation. Did you hear Hugo call Charles Sausage Fingers?
Yes.
That's his new name.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, he's so bloated. He's so bloated.
It.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I know. Well, I told you, I noticed his hands were, and I didn't know that, but when I was listening to Hugo, all of a sudden they started calling him Sausage Fingers.
Yeah.
And you know, he's done another one recently, or just, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, and this shows you about depopulation, how, you know, you got the LGBTQ, that kind of kills the population, right? You have abortion, which is really, you know, literally kills the population.
Right.
Well, now in the UK, they're trying to convince women not to have a relationship with their husband if he eats sausage. Now, you know, British sausage is the best,
That's it.
But they're saying that it's toxic. It's toxic masculinity. If he eats sausage, if your husband eats sausage, and the way to turn him into a vegetarian is to just, you know, not have any relations with him. I said, this is, and you should have heard Hugo. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
He says, what do we have now? Both of them at bangers, because sausage are bangers in England.
Right.
He's like, call them both of them at bangers. Oh, but you, this
you
is
know,
how crazy it is. And you have a population that bought them. But go
now,
ahead.
I failed to mention this. After the guy did the initial screening where, you know, he asked me what race I was and all that stuff, he says, did you read the thing? I said, yes, I read it. He says, okay, now, he says, stick your hand out because I'm going to put some you know, that clear stuff they put on your hands so that you can disinfect your hands?
Mm-hmm.
What do they call that?
Yeah.
Hand
sanitizer.
Right. He puts them. He says, okay, now rub your hands because I have to give you this laptop and you have to answer these questions. I kid you not. On the screen, there were 20 questions. And the 20 questions had to do with HIV.
Oh, my goodness.
Right. So, for example, do you know that if the last 3 months, if you have had, as a male, relationships with a male, I said, so I raised my hand, and the guy came over. I said, listen. I said, I don't know what I am. I says, because you just asked me about, now I'm confused. Is this, what is this gender stuff here? What's a male? I said, you know, the Supreme Court lady didn't know what a woman was. How do you answer this? He says, okay, I'll skip it for you. You know, I'm just, right? So now, all the questions that had to do with gay men, and let me tell you something, I believe, based on those 20 questions that I had on the, and you know, you had to, it was a touch screen where you had to answer yes, no, or don't know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe that there is a plague within the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're gay, they don't want your blood.
HIV now, they say, is that curable now? Is it curable?
Well,
it
can't be curable because why would they have 20 questions on a screen where they're asked now? They want now at the end of this thing, you have to sign your name. You know, like you do sometimes when you sign your name with one of those pens on a computer screen.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was because it says by penalty of law. So.
Wow.
Yeah. So it means that
interesting.
If you're engaging in that lifestyle and you lie about it. And you give your blood and you infect somebody.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what and my packet had a barcode on it.
Wow.
Yeah, because the barcode went with my receipt. They took the sticker off of the barcode and put it on my receipt. And they said, if in 30 days you have any of these symptoms on the sheet of paper, call us so that we can not use your blood. And this barcode here will give us the number of your blood packet.
Wow.
So all those 20 questions had to do with gay people. And this is the American Red Cross.
Do you know when the monkeypox first, they were talking about that?
Right.
I saw articles that they said that was in the gay community.
Absolutely.
That... Did you see that? Okay. I'm glad you saw that, too.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Governor Hochul, Miss Eyebrows, there's a very big gay community here in Saratoga, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And Saratoga, New York is a big hub for horse racing. And at the beginning of the summer, on the one radio station that I get, they were announcing that the governor had opened up an emergency monkeypox vaccination center in Saratoga, New York, because in Saratoga, New York is known to be a gay hub.
Hmm, that's interesting.
And
for you to come back, because I want to hear the rest of this. All right, I can't hear you. We lost the connection. Darn, this was a good story, too. Very interesting. So hopefully you'll come back. Well, I'm not sure what happened there. I can't play the audio yet, so we'll give him time to come back. But this is interesting how we're connecting things here. Bro needs to get out more, I think, find out what's going on in the real world. But actually,
can you hear me?
It is strange. Yeah,
can you hear me now?
I waited.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like they're monitoring the call or something. I don't know what it's.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I said you need to get out more.
Yeah. Let me go back to the monkeypox thing. So they were saying.
Yeah, because this is fascinating.
Right. They were saying that they only had 300 vaccines, and they were going to make them available first to gay men.
Wow.
And that was in Saratoga, New York, and they ran there and opened up, you know, like one of those tent cities where they, you know, it's a makeshift, real quick. And it was for that community first.
I don't know. We might be onto something here.
Absolutely.
Might be onto something. You know, thinking about it, I'm glad you brought this up. Because, you know, when I said the gay, when you were saying that about, you know, answering those questions, and it's like HIV, and I thought, no, that's pretty much, that's under control. So what else? And then I just remembered of, you know, how when the monkeypox came out, they attributed that to the gay community at first. Now I'm not hearing that. But then you told me that story, and it goes together.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And notice that they didn't ask any questions on that. None of the 20 questions had to do with heterosexual couples. It had to do with people who are engaged in that lifestyle.
Wow.
So that just tells you that that lifestyle is risky.
Yes.
Life-threatening risky.
Yes.
Right? So
it's being promoted more than ever.
Exactly.
So think about the future. You know, think about the future with that. If that's promotion, because that is the agenda is gay right now, right? You know, that is,
right.
We are in the gay agenda. It's being promoted in our schools. It's promoted everywhere. If that becomes the norm, because kids are trained that way, you have a whole generation are being trained that that's a good thing, that's okay, and they're trained that way, they can be whatever they want, and they choose to do that. Look at how quick a plague, like the bubonic plague, you know, happened, and it's not the same plague, but you see how it traveled, you know, and went everywhere. That could wipe out, and talking about in the end times, there are plagues, actual plagues.
Listen.
And if they're that concerned, you see what I'm saying? And
listen,
this is in that community, and that community is being promoted.
They released COVID. One.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they released it, one, to wipe out the elderly community, that is the bulk mm-hmm. of the Social Security check recipients.
I can't argue with that one bit.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
Just wipe out that, just wipe them out. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they wanted to shut down the economy because now they want to go into the Great Reset.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they have to
yep.
shut down all the economies of the world. They have to ruin all the economies.
Correct.
Because when you look at the economy in England, Germany, France, the United States, Canada, they're
yep.
all jacked up.
Yeah, it has to be a global agenda, and that's it.
Correct.
That's right.
Everything's
been a global agenda.
Right, right. So notice, they wipe out the people that they're paying the most, which are the elderly, because now the elderly retire and they need to get their pension,
mm-hmm.
their Social Security. So they wipe them out so they don't have to pay those people. Then they're pushing the reset economically, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're eliminating the borders. Look at Biden and all the people he's letting through the borders, right?
Right.
They're also wiping out our young people through fentanyl. Think
yes.
about the drug overdoses, right? The fentanyl,
oh,
drug,
yes.
I mean, is just wiping out hundreds of people a day. We're talking about hundreds of people a day.
Yes. We're witnessing the depopulation here.
Right.
Technically.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Here's another way they
depopulate. It's just not going out with a sword right yet.
Right.
But go ahead.
Well, we already know World War III has started. How do we know that? The Ukraine and Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And before you know it,
yep.
other nations are going to be forced to get involved.
Right.
So there's more depopulation with the loss of life of soldiers. So this is and if they need to, they'll unleash monkeypox, which I
yeah.
believe that this was just a little trial run.
You know, putting all this together, when we think about it, it is, I mean, it just seems to fall in line with everything, doesn't it? Because, you know, when we expect the depopulation, when you think about it, you think they're going to just come out with a sword. But when they have this depopulation, they can't really do that in certain countries, you know,
right.
Without being charged at the moment with crimes against humanity. So what they're doing, it's a whole different method, but they're still depopulating.
Look, here's
you
another
know?
Way they're going to – here's two more ways they're going to depopulate. One, starvation.
Yes.
And two, people are going to freeze to death this winter.
Yes.
You wait – you listen, there's a lot of people who cannot afford their fuel.
That's correct.
A lot of people are going to freeze to death. A lot of people are going to starve. They have – it's like they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at depopulation.
Yes.
They're using every tool in the toolkit, right? They'll say, we'll take out some people with this, and we'll take out another group with this, and we'll take out – think about the violence in our cities where people – you know, I don't know if you saw this,
yes.
but there was a young student from LSU sitting in a car, and, I mean, a young, beautiful, beautiful young lady at
mm-hmm.
Louisiana State University sitting in a car, and
yeah.
she was
yeah.
plugged with holes. I mean, they shot her up.
Yeah.
And for what? Because they were doing gang initiation. They are listen.
Yeah.
There's violence. You look at Louisiana. My goodness, the crime rate in New York City. The crime rate, Chicago, L.A. The crime rate, and
yes.
people are just killing off people, and that's what we know about. Can you imagine what's going down south of the border? What's going on in Mexico City, Mexico?
No. No.
And in those other places where we don't get any news on those places, they're wiping out people. They're wiping them out.
Yeah, And you think about it, too, and all this anger and hatred and division that they've caused between peoples, you
right.
know, has a lot to do with the violence going on. You know, they're just making people hate one another at this point. And that's a lot of the violence. There's a lot of anger.
Right.
I mean, you can't watch television without getting angry, or news, certain news stories
sure.
without getting angry. So, you know, and that's intentional.
It's
so,
intentional.
Yeah, instead of just going for the giant sword there, they're doing it in a different way.
In a
you
lot
see?
Of different
and it's
ways.
Working.
Here's another
many,
thing.
Many.
Here's another thing. Suicide. Suicide is on the
yes.
rise.
Yes.
See, when you add
yep.
all those little things, when you add all those little pieces, it adds up.
Yeah.
All of
remember,
that
they
up.
Want to get to a certain number. They
right.
have to, with the Georgia Stone, remember that got demolished and all
yeah.
this stuff? That on it had a population number, a desired population for the world. That was a guideline for the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
And that had an exact population for the Earth that they hoped to control, you know, that only so much. So, and I really think that has a lot to do with the gay agenda, why they're promoting that, you know.
Sure. I have no
I
doubt.
Think eventually all this is going to turn. I mean, so many people think that the government, I don't know about your generation. Well, we have the same generation. Basically, our parents really didn't trust the government.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not like the government was going to help you, but we have a whole generation of people who trust that the government's going to take care of them and things for them.
And they're
they don't
and
realize.
Delusional.
Yeah, that's the enemy. That can be the enemy. And
sure.
in this case, what we see going on is we're seeing the rise of this, you know, government control. And, you know, it's not, they have you looking at people all around you when it's actually them.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, this has been interesting because I'm glad we talked that out, just walked through it, and you mentioned that. Because, like I said, you need to get out more.
Yeah, well, I don't want
you
to.
Do see things and notice things
right.
now that are out of place. There's
sure.
just, it's a different world now.
Very different
when
world.
We go
very
out.
Different world. Very different. Very different.
And when you put everything together, you could see where all this matches biblically. You could
yep.
see biblically, especially in the book of Revelation, you can see all these things coming to pass. You know, and you can say, yeah, that's biblical when that happens. Or, you know, and it's always a matter of being one step ahead of them, too, basically. If
mm-hmm.
you know what's coming down
sure.
the pipes and you know what they're up to, then you stay away from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You should know the game. You should be better at the game because you have the Holy Spirit.
mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
You should see that game. And understand
yep.
the next move. And so.
Absolutely. All right. Here's a little bit more of Hugo Talks before our time
okay.
is up.
You know what I mean? And this makes people not trust one another. It's divide and conquer. It's order out of chaos. That's their modus operandi. That's their strategy. And it's implemented throughout the media and the alternative media. The MSM report it, the alternative media then react with outrage while they all stand back and watch if any fireworks go off in the public, all the while dividing people more. This is why I say turn the whole thing off. The media and the alternative networks who pretend to be on your side, who are really associated with the mainstream media, they're playing both sides. That is the evil at work here and the hidden hand that controls the media. You know, what is funding the whole shebang, all in order to enslave people. And the only way to negate this is to throw away your smartphones, switch off the TV, switch off the radio, switch off the internet even, And I understand the irony of me saying that. I understand that would mean I wouldn't get as many views, but so be it. Okay, next comment. This is a man who had a close association with Jimmy Savile, a prolific, you can see what that says, and a procurer of children for the rich and famous. Yeah, he was very good friends with Jimmy Savile. They like to play this down a lot, but clearly there are, you know, numerous photographs of him with Charles at numerous events. They look very close. Savile, of course, being a literal child catcher for the elite, from reports associating with the politicians and royalty. But don't forget as well, there is also that Bishop Peter Ball, that Charles was good friends with as well, also found guilty of the same thing. Go and check that out if you're not familiar with that story. We also have this one about Prince Charles's servant. That person ended up dead in 2005. The name of this guy was George Anthony Smith. And didn't Princess Diana supposedly have a recorded tape of him giving evidence of what happened to him? And wasn't that to do with the Queen letting that butler, Paul Burrell, let him be pardoned in court, as he had it, of course, after Diana's suspicious car crash? Was that not what that was all about? Anyway, that servant who was accused of this was Michael Fawcett, a high-up servant of Charles at the time, who still works with Charles right up until recently. Maybe he still does, 2022, and was involved with the Prince Charles 1 million cash in a suitcase recently. Something to look into. He isn't dead, but the guy who made the claim is. And not forgetting Charles' mentor and favourite uncle Mountbatten, who was accused of the same thing in FBI files released in 2019. And not forgetting his brother and Epstein Island as well. So you've got a lot of the same thing going on around Dragon Boy Charles. Next comment. Yeah, I live in Cornwall. An old boy who lived near my father-in-law died without leaving a will, so Charlie Boy gets the house by default. There is a housing crisis in Cornwall. I bet you the house is left to rot and the land will be mined for lithium, as they are out in force in the area searching for lithium and causing all the landowners all sorts of grief. Yeah, I've heard of that before in Cornwall. If you don't have a will and you pass away, it all goes to the Duchy of Cornwall by default. That's set up nicely for them, isn't it? Next comment. I can't even describe how refreshing this is. You have made my day, Hugo, for having the balls to speak the truth on a day of massive mourning. Well, I'm not seeing, you know, anybody else saying, you know, what I consider to be the obvious. You know, and especially, you know, you have people on these channels with a large number of followers who are supposedly the alternative voice against the mainstream media. And then you see all of these so-called alternative people and their channels on their channels, and they're all dressed in black. Oh, the Queen, ooh, she's passed away. And it's all respectful. You know, they are part of the mainstream, I believe, because just like the BBC, they have to wear black. They're ordered to wear black. They have no choice. Next comment. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. People love these evil people because at the core, they are evil too. They love the lies and refuse the truth. Okay, so the first line is from the Bible, and it's hard to argue with it. I mean, although so many of these people are misled, they are spellbound by the media, by their Black Mirror devices. So many people have grown up with a TV in the corner of the room, and they've been conditioned to think the way they have. And they've got to be deeply conditioned, haven't they? I mean, their reality is what the TV and the media have told them for decades. That's very deep programming for a very long time. But even so, I do personally find it difficult, especially now, after the last 2 years and everything that's gone on, how these people who we are seeing lining up to watch the car and the coffin go by, why these people cannot connect the simplest of dots. They had to close their shops in lockdowns, people going out of business, people losing their jobs, they can't pay their bills, the media and the government, doing a psyop on them now, recently with the energy prices, the same media that is now fawning and worshipping over these royals that have infinite riches, unlike you, live in palaces, unlike you. The same media were going on about monkeypox and viruses just a few weeks back. And here you see Prince Charles, the kissing and the handshaking. Oh, that's okay. That's all forgotten about now. And these people can't connect these dots together. And now you're struggling because times are tough, and yet you're still falling for what the media are telling you. And also not realizing that by going to this event, just by standing there as the coffin and the car goes by, you're enabling their power. You're submitting to their power. You can take their power away by just not engaging with them. Disengage, have nothing to do with it. I find it difficult to understand why people, some people I know are just drawn to crowds, you know, they want to be where everyone is. It's a bit like, you know, a moth to a flame. Again, you know, where is your free will? Where is your discernment? I think people have become detached from their gut instinct or their spiritual discernment or something like that. Next comment. She passed away months ago. Just check out all of the pictures of the family dressed in all black last November. Last November. I can't remember. I can't remember last November. There are a lot of people suggesting she died before, you know, prior to the announcement of her death the other day. I mean, you've got those Liz Truss photographs, you know, when she became Prime Minister and met the Queen. And it's usually these are filmed, aren't they? But in this case, there were only photographs, which a lot of people thought was weird. There were loads of rumors of CGI, wasn't there, in the Queen's Christmas message, if I recall. I don't know. I mean, anything is possible. This does seem to fit, this whole event now that's happening and this massive psyop in the media that's going to go on for another week or so. This does seem to fit very neatly into a timeline, you know. This is all going on for the next 2 weeks, leading up to the end of September. The end of September is when, like I said before, the German government are reintroducing masks on public transport. They are saying, oh, we think the cases are going to rise end of September. You've probably already heard the Vatican want all connected financial assets held in other banks all to be moved into their one Vatican bank. And that's by the end of September, which all sounds a bit odd. It's a bit of a red flag, isn't it? I don't know. It just feels like this is being slotted in, you know. There you go, some intense Queen dead royal propaganda. Fit that into this two-week slot. Then a week later, onto the next psyop. Anyway, that's enough from me.
All righty. Great show. And you have the last word because we're out of time.
Well, thank you so much for what you've talked about too. We can do the other audios I have next week, you know.
Yeah, but we're going to show the faults.
No, that's okay, because it was important what you said. You know, like we said, a conversation, having a dialogue about it, you know, that's how you work things out. That's how you see things, you know, taking place, and you learn new things yourself. So we'll work on that, you know, the rest of that next week. And I hope everybody has a great day. And bro, I sent you an email with a question.
I'll call you later on tonight.
Okay.
That's fine.
I'll be home after 5 or so.
Sounds good. 5 or 6. All right.
Okay. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you later. Bye.
In the council of the wicked, blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the sinner's way, or sit in the seat of the mocker. Blessed blessed is the man.
Of the Lord.